Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in the book of Acts, chapter 8, verses 26 to 40. Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, "Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." So he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go near and overtake this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I, unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this: "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation his justice was taken away. And who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." So the eunuch answered Philip and said, "I ask you, of whom does the prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man?" Then the prophet opened his mouth and, beginning at this scripture, preached Jesus to him. Now as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" And so Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." So he commanded the chariot to stand still, and both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away, so that the eunuch saw him no more. And he went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. So far, sermon text. You may be seated. In Christ Jesus, our ever-living Lord, whom we proclaim to a spiritually dead world, dear fellow redeemed. During this Easter season, we've been studying texts from the book of Acts, which have revealed to us the continuing story and life of our Savior Jesus Christ after his ascension into heaven. We see the resurrected and ascended Lord Jesus living in the hearts and lives of his believers, and the response that transpires. In a very real sense, every Christian's life is really a continuation of the life of Jesus, because Christ in his resurrection lives in us, and it compels and moves us to live a life of loving obedience and selfless sacrifice to Christ and to his name. What did Paul say? Paul said everything in this world that he has is rubbish, garbage, manure, when compared to Christ. And his one desire was to know Christ and the power of his resurrection. Well, that power of the resurrection that indeed lived in the hearts of John and Peter and that crippled man who was healed at the temple gate. We've seen how the message of no other name than Jesus Christ proclaimed, convicted and converted 5,000 men. We saw the power of the Christ's resurrection lived in Peter and John's heart, so they boldly proclaimed about Jesus Christ, even though they were threatened not to speak in his name. And last Sunday we saw how the believers gathered together in these troublesome times and prayed boldly and confidently that the Lord would accomplish his will in their individual lives. And so this morning we continue our journey through the book of Acts with this thought: the Easter resurrection message marches on. From last Sunday's text to this morning's text, we've jumped three chapters. And in those three chapters, We see the fulfillment of the prayer of those believers. The Holy Spirit was poured out upon the believers in Christ so that they boldly and confidently proclaimed Christ crucified and risen again throughout all the region. Peter was rearrested and again thrown into prison. But this time, an angel came and miraculously set him free. There is so much work to be done, so many responses to the Word of God. The disciples said, we can't take care of all of it. And so they chose 7 deacons to help, especially with the service to the poor in regard to widows and orphans. So the disciples could spend their time preaching and teaching about Jesus. But these deacons also knew the word very well. In fact, one of them, a man named Stephen, was arrested for speaking about Christ. He was charged with blasphemy, and he was stoned to death. But even in his death, he proclaimed his victory in Christ when he said, as he was being pummeled by those stones, look, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. And as he died, he cried out, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Another one of those 7 deacons was a man named Philip. And Philip, we're told, did his work among the Samaritans up in Samaria. And we're told, multitudes with one accord heeded the things spoken by Philip, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. In fact, so much work was to be done there that Peter and John left Jerusalem and went up to Samaria as well. And we're told that they preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. What a marvelous demonstration of our God's control of history and of his church. Satan had tried with threats, with persecutions, with the martyrdom of Stephen to crush and to wipe out and to destroy Christianity and stop the spread of the gospel. But in so doing, by God's grace and power, it simply spread it all the more. In fact, we're told that when the Christians were persecuted and they scattered to different lands, therefore those who were scattered went everywhere preaching the word. They did just what God, Jesus, had commanded them and foretold would happen. They would preach in Jerusalem, then through all of Judea, into Samaria, and then finally to the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, one thing with this large mission field in the land of the Samaritans, remember Samaritans were part Jew, part Gentile, and the Jewish people didn't really like them. They were pretty racist towards them, but not the Christians. They went to them with that great missionary activity there. One would think it would be pretty foolish to take the missionary away. But that's exactly what God did. With all this mission activity, God called the missionary away. To what more unlikely spot can you imagine, can you think of the Word of God being proclaimed than to a lowly, uninhabited desert road out in the middle of nowhere? Our text this morning teaches us the great love our Savior has for each individual soul. Philip was removed from mission activity with many, many souls in Samaria to go and rescue this one soul in the desert. First point of our theme this morning says that the Easter resurrection message is proclaimed by called Christians. And Philip was indeed called. He was called, first of all, to be a deacon. And in our text we're told he was called by the angel to say, leave Samaria, go down to Gaza, down to the desert, south of Jerusalem. And when he got there, he said, see that chariot down there? Run and catch up to that chariot. And so he did. Imagine Philip's surprise when he got there and looked inside and he saw an Ethiopian. He wasn't a Jew. He wasn't a Samaritan. He was a Gentile. What was Philip going to do? He's going to say, oh, excuse me, I got the wrong chariot. Sorry, I got the wrong person. And just greet him and keep on going. He didn't waste time in talking about the weather or how the trip was either. He showed his interest in this man and what he was reading. This man evidently was a proselyte, a Gentile who had converted to Judaism, had gone to Jerusalem to worship and was on his way home, was reading from a scroll from the book of Isaiah. And he's reading chapter 53. Now in our text, we're just giving a brief sketch of this conversation between Philip and the Ethiopian as they rode along in the chariot. But we do have three questions this man asked Philip. And the first question was in response to a question that Philip asked him. As he heard him reading Isaiah 53, Philip asked him, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And the Ethiopian answered, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he read this section aloud again from Isaiah 53. And then the Ethiopian asked Philip, "Of whom does this prophet say this? Of himself or of some other man?" And that leads us to the second point of this morning's sermon theme. They call Christians reveal Christ in him crucified. Philip started from that point, began to preach Jesus Christ to him. He told him who that silent lamb was. He told him who that suffering servant was. No doubt he revealed to him that Isaiah, some 750 years earlier, before their time, wrote this about the Messiah. This Ethiopian knew about the Messiah. He had been converted to Judaism. Didn't know who the Messiah was. About God's suffering servant, the substitute for sinners. In this verse, in these verses, we see the cruel treatment that Jesus had to endure. We also see his humility. We see his love, his patience, his willingness to endure all of this suffering to be the substitute in obedience and in sacrifice for sinners. These are some of the verses that he read. "He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb before its shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his justice was taken away, and who will declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth." Yes, Isaiah was speaking about someone else other than him, of the only someone else who's the Savior of the world, of the only Savior, Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah. Now, Philip couldn't pull out his New Testament scriptures and start reading. They hadn't been written yet. And so he simply started preaching Jesus to him. The searching questions of his troubled soul, he proclaimed peace and forgiveness and everlasting life through a crucified and risen Lord and Savior. Philip had a ready-made text right there in Isaiah 53. There's all the gospel he needed. This was Jesus Christ. And he wouldn't let this opportunity pass him by, but preached Jesus crucified, Jesus risen again. But now, Philip told him about Jesus' birth, the virgin birth, that he was both God and man in one person, that he lived an obedient life of perfection, that he was suffered, crucified, died, rose again, how he commissioned his believers to go into all the world and preach the gospel, how he ascended to heaven and promised that he would return. All of that and more is included in that little phrase, he preached Jesus to him. And that leads us to the third question this Ethiopian asked Philip, and that was this. "See, here is water." As we were riding along, there was a pass, a little body of water, a stream, a river. "What hinders me from being baptized?" It's not just a question of idle curiosity. Philip must have told him about the two sacraments, baptism and the Lord's Supper. This was something that the Holy Spirit had implanted into this man's heart. After he'd been instructed by Philip, and the Holy Spirit worked in his heart, faith in Jesus Christ the Savior, he now says, "I want this seal of my faith. I want this blessed assurance of forgiveness through baptism, knowing that Jesus died for me." With faith in his heart, he made a blessed confession in his lips. Jesus is the Christ. He is the Messiah, the Son of God. This man was a treasurer. Treasurer of the Queen Candace of Ethiopia. No doubt he was quite a wealthy person, but he went home far richer than when he had left. This man had been a confused and troubled sinner, wondering what the Word of God meant. Now he returned in peace. The power of Christ's resurrection lived in this man's heart, and in his life as he returned home. And what about Philip, the missionary? Well, the man with the message was whisked away, teleported, and suddenly he found himself in Azotus. And there he began to continue to preach and teach until he made his way to Caesarea. There are a couple very important applications to lay upon our hearts in closing this morning's sermon. The first again is that Jesus shows his extreme love for the individual. This man was all alone, riding on a desert road, going back to his hometown, had some knowledge of the Messiah, but didn't know who he was. And God took Philip away from all of the activity for this one individual sinner. And hasn't the Lord done the same thing with each of us? He saw each of you and me lost in our sins, and he made sure that we were in the right spot at the right time to hear the Word of God, to have the Spirit convict us of our sins, to bring us to faith in Jesus Christ, and to make profession of our faith with our hearts and our lips. For many of us, that was in our infant baptism, brought to the Word of God by our Christian parents. For others, it may have been in your adult life. Someone came into contact in your life, not by fate or chance, but by God's direction, for you, the individual, to hear that message of salvation. To the law convict you, and the gospel to convert you, so that you now are here professing faith in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Isn't it amazing? In this world of billions of people, Jesus cares for each of you and me individually. Second application is that we see the Lord directed Philip to the Ethiopian, and the Lord also took him away. When we preach the gospel message of Jesus Christ, it's the Lord's work. He's the one who directs this Easter resurrection message as to where he wants it to go. And now, how often has he placed us in a situation similar to Philip? Speaking to someone, and they're talking, and they're wondering, did we grab the opportunity to tell them about Jesus Christ and Him crucified and risen again? Or do we feel a little inadequate, uncomfortable, instead spoke about the weather, the news, politics, sports? When we realize that there are millions of souls who are thirsting to death spiritually, and that we have that water of life for them, how can we not speak the word to them? The last application is, the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. His heart was filled with joy and happiness. And you cannot doubt that when he went back to Ethiopia, he spoke about Jesus, the crucified and resurrected Lord and Savior, to his family, his friends, his fellow workers. He was a treasurer of the queen, probably a high authority figure, probably knew a lot of people. He had been the first missionary in Africa, and in Ethiopia, to spread the good news. So may we, as we leave our Father's house this morning, with rejoicing hearts, hearts filled with joy, knowing that the Father sought for and found each of us and brought us to faith in the crucified and risen Savior, also reach out to others. As long as there are dying souls in this world, like Philip, we've been called to proclaim the one saving message, Jesus Christ crucified and risen again. Yes, the gospel Easter message marches on. And that's the power of Christ's resurrection living in our lives. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.